Okay. Make sure we're on gallery. There we go. Okay, so welcome to this week's Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. Y'all know the drill. So we're here to talk about the assignments and where you're struggling, if you're struggling. If you're not struggling, I want to hear about your wins. And as much as we can talk about the assignments and the your ACT plans and all of that, the videos, all of that, the replays, the better, because it helps everybody, if you have questions about any of that, for us to take it deeper and to solve any issues that you might have. So I'm going to just open up the floor. It's just Ella and Linda right now. Hopefully we'll be joined by some other people. If not, you guys get a semi-private session. So let's just dive in. Linda, you said before I hit record, you said you'd been doing well with productivity and some things like that. So why don't you start us out? Why don't you both just do a check-in on how you've been doing since our last session?
Okay, what I did was I looked up the journals that you had recommended and reviewed them and decided for me that it was best to take what I liked. And I made up a one page, basically a sheet that provides the four blocks for the day. And then I threw in some questions in there that I thought would benefit me to stay more on track. So that really helped by just using those squares and setting it up in that one page. I still have my other journal that I use, where I actually log what I actually do and how the day is going and things like that. But the sheet I made up of the two journals really made a difference. And then from there, because I was able to be more focused, I also was able to get my more of a mind map on giving me a good overview of how I'm changing and setting up my business with my current situation. So that was really nice to just get it all out of my head.
Good. And what happened when you got it out of your head?
Well, I felt so much better. And I also realized that it's not really that complicated. I have a lot of the information. I just need now to, I'm going to work on my terminology to tweak that a little bit more. And I feel like I'm ready to just start doing my blog now, whereas before I was just struggling. There's only one part I'm still a little iffy on, and I figured it would just kind of blend in somehow, and that's my spiritual life and my business life. I want them combined because I do a lot of writing in regards to my spiritual life and being a minister. So I have a whole group of people that follow me in that regards.
Right.
Which is why we set up for my branding as Your Life Thread. So that has been, is all set up. That website's all set up. And I want to go in and change it to kind of get those two blended together in some way. I just haven't figured that out yet, but I feel like it will fall in place.
So in terms of the branding, I'm sorry, I'm listening to you, but my email to them didn't go for some reason. So I want to just be conscious that it may look like I'm not paying attention to you. So wait one second, Linda, okay? Because I want to actually be totally present. So I don't know why this didn't send, but giving me problems. Right, so I think I got it here. All right, so Your branding is, tell me again, it was your life thread? Is that what we did?
Yes, that's what we did.
Okay, and you feel like all of that's blending in, is coming together now, or you don't?
Well, I think it's a good start. I do have my website. My website, Your Life Thread's been up for at least a year now, and I am using it. Going through Kajabi, and I do put, when I'm coaching my clients, I put all the recordings and things like that there. So that's all set up. Mm-hmm. What I just need to focus more on is my blogging. And I know I've hesitated because I don't have a clear view of personal development and the relationships that I work on, along with my spiritual life. And so I decided, what I'm thinking of is focusing on my blog based on three parts: your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, and then relationship with others. And then that will bring it all in.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So that's where I'm at. But I really feel like I accomplished a lot this week because of our conversation last week.
Okay. And the big parts of that were you created your own journal, like your own productivity sheet, right?
Right.
And what were the other big aspects of that?
You know what? That was it. Once I got that page done and had the questions, there really isn't a lot of questions. I basically did the squares like you have in the one journal. And I didn't do the productivity score and the discipline score. What I put down is emotional, because I'm dealing with relationships, I'm dealing with emotions, and the productivity and discipline scores didn't really, it just didn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because I haven't read the details of how those journals work, but it gave me enough to, once I added on the emotion for it, it completely changed everything. So I made a scale. Let me see if I have it here. I made a scale of emotions. So I put, the first one is excited to keep moving, because as I was working on this, these emotions came up, and I thought the more I use them, the more I'm going to understand it. So I will just be able to write excited, and that will let me know I want to keep moving. Motivated to complete, because sometimes you're not so motivated to complete
something. I get that.
Yeah. I put happy, which means there was really no action planned after that. So how I have it is I have the emotion that I'm feeling right now, and what that emotion means is my next action step.
Okay.
The fourth one is need a push. In other words, something's got to get done to really help me. I'm going to need help with, you know, pushing this and getting it completed.
Linda, I'm sorry. There's somebody at my door. Hold on. Ron, there's someone at the door. Sorry. Go ahead.
And then the last one I put delegate or remove. So just adding the emotions to the squares, mm-hmm. Really helped me, and it showed me where I was really at. And then that guides me as to how I want to keep going and how I wanted to set up the next day.
Awesome.
The next steps.
Awesome. Well, so great. So you created a system for yourself that works, and that's perfect. Perfect. And you're feeling good about your branding and where you're going. You just need to start working on the blogging.
Right.
So what's holding you up with the blogging?
Nothing now. I mean, basically it's the branding and how to combine the relationships. So I really just need to sit down and do what Brendan said, write, 10, 20, whatever I, as a plan. So I can just sit down and start doing it that way. And I am leaving for vacation. But I will have some time. So I'm thinking that would be my next step.
Okay. What did you mean by 10-20? Brendan said something about 10-20.
He said, actually, he said to do 52. He said, sit down and write down 52 subjects that you want to write about for your blog all at once. And I'm more of a emotional type person, and I need to be in the mood, not necessarily in the mood, but to be writing about something. You know how when you're working on a book or a subject, you write about a piece that you feel motivated to write about that subject at that time. And so I'm just going to see 10 to 20 ideas, and then that should give me enough to at least get started.
Okay. Yeah, good. Well, I mean, you know, after working with me, I usually say 3 months. Do 3 months, then do another 3 months.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that, but yeah. Okay.
But that's, you know, if you've got 4 weeks, it's just, if you're only doing one post a week, that's 12 posts.
12, right. Yeah.
So if you can do 20 or 30, then, you know, that'd be awesome.
And I figure once I start writing and start working on it and start working on the book in regards to relationships, it'll start falling in place, mm-hmm. I hope.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Sure it will. And we're going to be talking about how to structure a book and all of that in the next module. So, you know, that's coming soon.
Right. When I first started talking, I did say I wasn't clear on it, but it's funny how as I was talking to you, I realized I am clear. I just didn't realize it until right now.
Okay, well, so that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thanks for your help.
Yeah. All right, Ella, before we get into actual questions, why don't you do a check-in for us? Tell us what you're up to, what's going on, how you been since the last session?
My wins this week were, as I wrote in the Facebook group, I successfully wrote my signature story after struggling for about a year on honing that. And it tied into my current book proposal moving forward in addition to classes. So that was a huge win for me.
Great.
I understood how my stories relate to my mission, which is an assignment for number 6, Act 6 coaching this week. It says become a role model, brainstorm ways to step into the mission, to your message and be it, and list your stories you would tell and what each one illustrates about your mission. So finally, I made the correlation between the story, my mission, my upcoming courses, and really everything, rather than just them being isolated things in the past that I really didn't know what to do with. It finally connected. And that happens through doing actually a video from my blog. It seems, because I'm a very physical person, it just seems when I get out there and I speak my video, things become clearer. It's interesting.
Okay, so that's good to know, right?
Because yeah,
to always do your videos first and then create the blog post afterwards.
Yes. And I was thinking, I decided because I am much clearer about my entire book proposal and all the aspects and how I'm moving forward with the promotion, my blogs and video, I'm going to rewrite my sample chapter. And I've decided I'm just going to go out there and just do a video of me talking about my sample chapter and see what happens. And I'm sure, again, it will become very simple and clear when I video it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because right now I feel I'm a perfectionist in so many areas. And I think just the way to break through it is just to go out there, video my sample chapter, and it will become quite clear.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, something that, so when I work with people who aren't writers, which I'm not saying you're not a writer because you are, but when I work with people who come to me and say they're speakers, what I have discovered is if I ask them to actually create a presentation, So like they'll say to me, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to write a book and, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'll say, structure a presentation around your content. And once they've structured a presentation, they can then say, okay, well, for this slide, I would say this, and they can write their notes, you know, down in the notes section. And then this slide, I would say this. And even if it's just bullet points, then they can actually speak the whole book, like it's a big, huge presentation. So I would suggest that maybe you, you know, rather than ditch the whole sample chapter, that maybe you start just thinking about it like a presentation and see what still works and what doesn't. Or try speaking it a new chapter and then come back and say, okay, how did that all fit together? I just don't want you to throw away a whole chapter if there's something in there that's of value, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's good. I'm going to move forward this way. Thank you. Because I just got so perfectionist in my chapter and it's way too long. And I think I could just, with a presentation, get the main points across without getting stuck in all the details.
Right. And I'm not saying don't just speak it. I mean, you could try it both ways, right? And just see what comes out.
Yes.
But you have to find what works for you. And if speaking about the topic gives you more clarity, then that's definitely a good way to start.
Yes, I think so. The book, the chapter's way too complicated right now. I got it into too much depth and detail and all the different anecdotes. And I just need to simplify.
Okay.
And make it cohesive. I've spent so long on it that all the different sections, I don't think the tone of voice is necessarily cohesive anymore. So.
Yeah, the other thing is to put it away for a while.
Yes. I think that's what I've done, actually. I did put it away to learn all this, to do my blogging and video. Mm-hmm. And I think I've come back with fresh eyes.
Good. That's really important.
And I have a feeling I'm just going to cruise through it this next time. It's all going to be cohesive.
Good. Well, so, I'll be waiting to hear.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
So that was a result of the homework number 6, which talked about stories and how they relate to your mission. Mm-hmm. Then the branding, I actually got the courage to do a tagline. I changed the tagline on my website, and I went from a year ago when I was taking your course, I was all excited about a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I tested the reality of that, and I really do not want to be a nonprofit at all.
Okay. Good thing to know.
it really is. I really got beat up, and I don't like getting beat up. I like being in control. So I don't want to go there. I'm not interested. I don't feel I'm effective. And that's not my personality type. And it doesn't meet my mission.
Okay.
It's for a different kind of personality. I don't want to engage with organizations that are highly political, that are impenetrable. I just don't want to, I don't have enough time in this life to do that. So I'm going solo. And I'm going to be very strong in my own mission and in building my own community without a nonprofit. So as a result of that, that all came about because of my work the last year. And so I wrote a new tagline and I kind of restructured the website. So it's no longer like a nonprofit. It's focused much more personally on me and what I have to give. And it took me courage to be personal, but mm-hmm. that's all been because of the work that we've done. I can tell my stories now. I'm comfortable with the blog. I'm comfortable with the video. So all of this has unfolded. I realized it was just that the nonprofit was a fear thing. I was trying to hide behind something and be anonymous, yeah. Whereas I'm not afraid anymore.
Good. So that's a big step. That's a really big
that
step.
That was huge. Yes.
And so what's your branding now? What's the tagline?
Ah.
I mean, is it your name it and then a tagline?
Well, actually, the website is healingthroughnature.com, but it's the tagline is practices for the shift and paradigm of Mother Earth. But then I start off, I have my name though on the title page saying, this is who I am, and this is what Healing Through Nature offers, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then on my title page, I have, you can sign up and receive additional stuff and about the benefits and everything. So it's much more personalized, but not so personal that my website's my name, but it's myhealingthroughnature.com. Practices for the shift and paradigm of Mother Earth.
It says practices for the high frequency shift and paradigm of Mother Earth.
Yes, that's it. And it's four very specific that everybody can tap into one of them, depending on, and then I have benefits for each one, and that's the basis of my book.
Okay, so I would break these 1, 2, 3, 4 things out so that you can actually see them, like that they're not in a paragraph.
Okay.
Okay.
And I actually was thinking of making like a little picture for each one of the four. So when I do some more work, they'll be able to push on one of the four and then immediately see the benefits of each one and go, oh, that's for me.
Yep.
So
good.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Very specific.
Good. Well, maybe one of the weeks we can just really do some digging into everybody's websites. What was yours, Linda, again? Is it lindahandy.com? Linda, are you there?
I might have.
Unmute.
I think I might have. Did I? There she is.
Excuse me. It's yourlifethread.com.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of updating it because that one, I didn't know anything about the internet and doing websites, so I hired someone, and I'm ready to make it more personal. And I
did you work with Robert?
I worked with not Robert. I worked with a gentleman in London.
That's Robert, the guy that I use.
I don't think so. I met him in Kajabi.
Oh, right. So sorry.
Yeah. I wanted someone that worked with Kajabi, and it turned out he didn't. Even though he was in Kajabi, he was familiar with it. It turned out he was promoting it. He didn't. So there are certain things he didn't know how to do. And it was basically, oh, well, you'll have to figure it out yourself. So I have worked on it. And I think it's a start. It's good enough for right now. But I'm already working behind the scenes on other stuff.
Okay.
And that's also another reason why I was holding off with the blogs, because I figure I'm going to be changing it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I don't want to spend today unless we end up having time and it's just the two of you. I don't want to do a big, you know, blog course here, but good. Both of you are feeling good about your themes and your branding, and sounds like both of you feel like things are coming together. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So then let's just open to questions. And if you want to talk about your websites, that's fine. But questions about the assignments or anything else related to the work we're doing here. Time's all yours, since it seems like nobody else is coming. Don't know why, but they're not.
I have a question, since you mentioned Robert.
Yeah.
I would really like to move forward with a membership site, and I looked into the plugin on my WordPress site called WP Members. And I did email Fresh Eyes Consultancy saying I was your student, and would anyone help me with this setting up a membership site. So my question is that something they may do, or is it like a, would I do a long-term contract where they, I know you can't speak for them, but do I get a person who does development?
So I think they have the choice of you just, like I'm on a plan where I buy a certain number of hours from them. So, you know, I pay for a certain number of hours every month and they more than use my hours. So, but I started out working with them just on a job basis, you know, just could you do this? So I would just ask, say, I don't really want to be on a month-to-month continuing, you know, payment. I would just like to know what it would take for you to set up a membership site for me. And he may suggest that you don't use the WP member one. He may suggest something else. But they should be able to do it. Did he respond to you?
Well, no, I did not hear back. I sent about 3 days ago saying, giving them my website, responding. Well, I sent an initial email saying, please email me. Then they said, please email us your site. I emailed them back and I haven't heard from them, which made me a little bit concerned that they're not interested.
No, I doubt that it's not that they're not interested. Robert is the one who does all the pricing and that kind of thing. Ruth works, who okay. You probably had contact with. Ruth works with me on a day-to-day basis. Used to be Robert.
Okay.
But it could be that they're just busy. So I'm going to jot them a okay. big note and just say, Ella is waiting to hear back from you about help with a membership site. And can you get back to her? Okay.
Yes, I think it was Robert. I emailed back. It sounds familiar.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm really computer weary. I've been trying to do it myself, in addition to learning different plugins, and I'm actually exhausted from just trying to learn all this stuff, and I'm not very good at it. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's why, you know, that's why I stopped doing it myself, because I was like, you know, this is, there are some things that just get too techy for me. And also you just end up spending a lot of time on it that you could be spending on something else.
Yes.
Yeah,
like I spent another 3 hours this morning and I really just needed to be writing.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, you know, there's always stuff you have to do. Look, Ruth is doing a lot of my, handling a lot of my email stuff now. I mean, like the promotional emails that go out and the reminders, which is probably why, you know, she's still figuring it all out. So maybe just something didn't go out today, but I know she had them set up anyway, but you know, there was a promotional email, you know, and I sent it to her and she sends it back for a test. Then I make changes. Then she has to make, you know, so there's always some work on our part that's going on. But with the websites, it's, you know, I just found that it can become time consuming and you're a perfectionist, Ella, like me. And so I would spend hours fiddling with stuff. Doesn't look just
yes.
like I wanted. I want it to look that way, you know, and then the other day I was doing it with a blog post that had numbers, but there were paragraphs within the numbers and that's not easily done on WordPress. And I've done it before, but I could not get it to work. And I finally just emailed Ruth, can you fix this? And she fixed most of it, but not all of it. And I had to let go of my perfectionism and say, okay, it's okay the way it is. I'm not going to fuss with it. But I get it. So yes, that this is where you would probably be better with someone else who you can just say, do this, and they do it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. I'm literally seeing triple. I'm so tired because I go in there and I just will not give up.
Yeah, I get it. I do, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, you got a question for me?
I'd like to ask about benefits to clients. And so if we could use CHPC just a little bit, like as an example, how much should we list when it comes to benefits to clients, especially on our websites? because, you know, we have five categories, six if you count necessity. And I was just wondering how much I should be putting on there, or how little. You know, what's the best way to do it?
I don't know that there's a best. You have to think about your clients and really kind of, or prospective clients, and think about how to, how much they need to know about this. I mean, they're going to plunk down a fair amount of money for one-on-one high-performance coaching, and, you know, they're going to have some questions about what they're going to get out of it.
Right.
So you could easily go through each of the five pillars of high performance and say, you know, clarity gives you, you know, we work on developing clarity, and that gives you blah, 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 blah. You know, or you can make it quite short. I've often said clarity, you know, that clarity gives you the ability to make decisions about which way to go. And so, you know, if you don't have clarity, the likelihood is you're going to be stuck a lot of the time, and things will take you much longer because you just, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing when, or how to, you know, how to move forward. And so, you know, I think if you have a sentence or two, it's probably fine.
Okay. And then maybe just have like a follow-up for some, if they ask for more information, or if they want, I had a client the other day who said she was really interested, but she wanted a brochure. And I'm thinking, I don't have a brochure.
Right.
So I haven't gotten back with her.
Yeah, but you want to have it on your website so you can at least send them to your website.
Well, she's got that. So that's why I was wondering, well, how much do we really put in there? I did have a gentleman who asked about my clients on in Brendan's book, where he talks about, I think it was referred to as PQO.
Yeah.
So I spent some time working on that. And then when I sent it to him, at our next session, I asked if that answered his question. He was like, you know what? That was a whole lot deeper than I want to go into. So I put it aside. And I'm thinking, I put in all that time into it that could have given him some really good aha moments, and he didn't even want to discuss it.
I think there's a middle of the road for whatever we're giving, and that's why working like on your pitch and your message here helps, because I think that's, you know, we have to learn how to be concise and just say this is the benefit. I mean, that's the pitch is this is what I'm writing about, you know, or your message, this is what I is my cause or my movement or whatever, my project, and this is why you would benefit from it. And that's done in, you know, well, we have to be able to do it in 30 seconds, right? So you have to, I think about it the same way, that, you know, maybe you can do it in 30 seconds, you know, and of course you're writing it, but, you know, is what you've written something that you could say in less than a minute? And then, you know, do you want to just add maybe one more paragraph that says, you know, plus, you get this, and maybe they're bullet points. And I do a lot of bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And I go back and forth. I'll send out these really long emails, you know, promotional emails and stuff. And then I wonder, you know, does anybody get it more than halfway through? But
right.
if you follow Brendan's, I have it right here, the cell. You remember from Experts Academy, he had the how do you sell anything formula or something?
Oh, yes, yes.
Right? I'll recite it for, if I can find it, Ella, I'll read it to you so that you know what we're talking about. The Create Anything Framework, but that's, you could sell with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
right.
Ella, I'm going to read it so you know what we're talking about, okay? And it's from Brendan
Burchard. Okay.
So it's the Create Anything Framework. So you start with who I am and what I do. So that's basically, you know, a little, like a very brief bio. Then you know, have you ever had any of these challenges? Me too. Here's my story of struggle. There's your signature story. Here's my story of finding the solution. So that's sort of the extension of your story, because it's the, you know, here's where I struggled and now this is the solution I found, right? So here's my story of finding solutions. Here's me and my students' results. Here's the old world versus the new world. So sort of myths and trends. So, you know, you might think such and such, but really it's this way. Then here's the solution. So that's the framework, the step-by-step part of it. Here's the most common mistakes, so the do's and don'ts. And then that's really the gist of it. But I tell you what, when I follow that, and Charlie Caldwell has given us one that's very similar, because of course he gets it from Brendan. And by the time I've done all that, my email is this long. So I'm struggling a little bit, Linda, also, because I feel like interspersed between these long emails with lots of information has to come something very short that just says, if this is, you know, like you pick each one of your benefits and you just say something very brief about it. If you want more information, click here.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I was just thinking as you were talking about that, that we could easily set up a page. So when someone says, can you send me a brochure, I can send them an email with that link to the page on the website. And I also know, I don't know the right terminology, but I know that you can actually have a lot of things attached in your website that people don't see. But you can give them the link and then they can go in that way.
Yes.
So I probably just need to work on it more in regards to that way. So the emails could be shorter. Plus, then I can just, like the work I did on the PQO, I can just maybe go back and set that up as a more generic way. And then they can just, anyone can use it.
Right. And, you know, on your website, since you started out talking about your website, know that you can have, I mean, like if you were to go to ninaamir.com and click on the Certified High Performance Coaching, or even on the new Nonfiction Writers Master's Program, I don't know if there's a button yet for that, but we have a lot of things that are hidden that you can just open. So for instance, for my Certified High Performance Coaching, if you click on it, you'll see that actually I tell you what's in every session.
Okay.
But you don't have to see it. It just says session one, you know, I can't remember, I'm not on the page, but you know, and then if you click, it drops down and there's a description of the goal of that session. So for someone who's like, what the heck is high performance coaching and what are we going to do for 12 sessions? Well, they can find out. These are our goals for the 12 sessions. You know what I mean? But
right.
They don't have to read it.
Okay, that sounds good. Right. I like that.
Yeah. And actually, I have to give James Williams credit for that. I saw that on his site and I was like, oh, Robert, you need to do that for me. Really nice. And then and then James got rid of it.
Huh.
He started working with someone, I can't remember who it was, on his marketing and he took it away. But I still think it's a good thing because people have questions and you want to answer them.
Right.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Ella, questions? Ella, you there?
Yes. Could you please repeat where I could look at that structured format that you talked about a few minutes ago?
There isn't
Brendan Burchard.
You would have to go to Brendan's event, Experts Academy.
Okay.
And last year, okay. I went last year and actually he didn't, well, we'll see. He said he's redone the whole event. And so last year when I went, they had a problem and they didn't hand these out. They handed out a couple sheets, but they didn't hand out the whole thing. You weren't there, Linda, were you?
No.
Yeah. So last year, this nice little, you know, booklet with everything in it didn't show up. And I think it didn't get shipped was what happened. And then they managed to print a few pages. So I'll have to see what he does this year. I'm going in a couple weeks, and I can let you know, Ella. And then if you wanted to, you could always sign up to go in the fall. And I could meet you because I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that you live so close.
Yeah, although I don't, you know, the one I'm going to now, I don't remember how I got it. Like, I think I signed up for something, and I got, maybe when I recertified and they gave it to me. And then they wanted to say I didn't have this one. And I said, you know I did because they, it's a long story. They gave us another one for free and I had to tell a friend she couldn't come with me and she disowned me. So I was like, no, I know I have one more because I got disowned over that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going and then Sarah Furman's going in the fall and gave me her extra ticket. So but anyway, Ella, if you decide to sign up, I mean, you probably could still go if you wanted to in May. But there's also the fall, And you get 2 tickets when you sign up for it.
Okay, let me think about that. I do have a question from the homework.
Okay, go for it.
Act 6, homework. It talks about challenging your audience. Make a list of ways in which you can challenge your audience without being confrontational, which is, unfortunately, I find that when I do get confrontational, so I need to provide, it says here, provide a creative vision for the future they must move toward. I'm only confrontational when I'm in person, like on a one-to-one. So I need to create a vision. How do you recommend challenging your audience? Do you do it with questions? Do you do it with tips? Or do you, how do you do that?
Well, there are a lot of ways to do it. I mean, sometimes I just say, you know, I challenge you to do such and such. I challenge you to write a blog post every day for the next month. That's a lot of what Brendon Burchard will do. He'll say, like he gave us coaches, you know, the challenge to get 5 new clients signed up in 3 months. Right? So it can be that simple. Just, I challenge you to do such and such so that you're stretching, right? But the thing is that you want to raise the aspiration level. And so that's that future, right? You want your, whoever it is, your readers or the audience to get very clear on where they want to go and how this challenge is going to push them to get there. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, very much. That's why I redid my website. I was creating a larger umbrella. Okay, that's the aspiration. Thank you.
Yeah, and so when you say that you get confrontational, what do you mean by that? Like, how have you in the past challenged somebody?
Well, I think my husband told me, like yesterday, I was talking to someone who owns a rainforest and doesn't care about it. Apparently, I raised my voice. I think I raise my, I get loud in trying to get my point across instead of staying calm and contained, which I think a person should do, but I get very passionate when someone, you know, I get face to face with someone, I get loud,
right?
Which is not, that's being a bully. That's not okay.
I don't know that that's confrontational, but maybe it could be perceived that way. But you've been through all the high performance, you know, through 2 high performance. Did you, you did the act, the Charged Writer 2, right?
I did just the HP and the ACT.
Okay. All right. So, but in the high performance coaching that you did with me, the high performance writer, you have 2 handouts that you need to go look at. Okay.
Okay.
From Influence and from Persuasion Mastery. And
Yeah.
Yeah. So 6 and 11, I think it is. Right, Linda? 6 and 11?
10.
6 and 10. And you need to look at those handouts because they're invaluable for challenging people because they're all about persuasion and influence, right? How do we get people to change what they're doing and how they're thinking? And the raising the voice isn't going to help, but changing their aspirations is and tapping into their aspirations is.
Okay.
So as an example, I was talking to my husband about this, that my son always has perceives that he has issues with his artistic director. He's, you know, he's a dancer. And he wants to be recognized for what he's doing, you know, and he wants to be promoted and he wants to be told he's doing a good job and all these things. And I've told my son this once before, but my husband and I were talking about it again. We were like, he needs to go in there and he needs to actually talk to the artistic director about what the artistic director wants and how he can help him get that. Right? So if the artistic director says, I want our company to be known worldwide as the best company, you know, out there, then my son can say, how can I help you achieve that? So when you're talking to the rainforest guy, right, who is a potential reader of your book, you want to say, what is it you want for your rainforest? And then how can I help you get that? And, you know, I would challenge you to look at it this way. And maybe you don't use the word challenge, just, you know, say, you know, how I get that you want to go here. Have you thought about doing this? And what if you did that for 30 days? You just saw what the result was. And how can I help you get there? You know, this book I've written would really be helpful, but I've also taught this, done this course, or maybe you have an audience, you know, and you want me to stand up on your stage and help you accomplish what you want to accomplish by me speaking to your audience. You get it?
That's amazing. Thank you so much. That's been a huge stumbling block for me because I get so concerned I'm going to raise my voice, I just don't speak.
Yeah, we don't want that. So you want to plan it out. And you can't know what he's going to say. So you can't plan every interaction. But you can definitely go in armed with what you're going to say. So, you know, and how you're going to approach it so that you raise his aspiration level and make him feel challenged to actually achieve his goals. I don't know. Linda, you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, one thing I know when it comes to spouses, sometimes they could be harder on us than anybody else. So what he perceives as you raising your voice may not necessarily be confrontation. It, great example is my husband may think I'm raising my voice, but he doesn't realize the person on the other line didn't have his hearing aids in. So it sounds like I'm raising my voice and somewhat yelling. So that's just an example. I just feel sometimes family is harder on us than what is actually happening.
Yeah, that's true. But it sounds to me like maybe you feel like you're confrontational anyway in those situations. Do you, Ella? Even if you didn't know your voice went up?
Well, yes, it's my emotional state, but the stress level goes really high and I clench and I've known the person a long time and we've had a lot of these discussions. I never burn my bridge, but I have to go through a recovery period because I get so upset because I don't feel I effectively communicate. So I need to go back to my HP course and go over influence. And the other one that you said, I was writing it down,
persuasion.
Influence and
persuasion mastery.
Persuasion.
Yeah.
I need to do some work.
Yeah. And remember some of the things you learned also about, you know, for instance, the release meditation. No, you can't do that in the middle of a conversation, but you can definitely take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a deep diaphragmatic breath, you will calm yourself.
Also, I think when we prepare ourselves, so before you have your conversation, prepare yourself, like, what will I do if I catch my voice raising? How can I respond to change that? What do I want to do if he says something that really upsets me? How do I want to respond to that? Because we can actually prepare ourselves in such a way that we can be so proud when we hang up that, wow, I did it. Because sometimes we're not thinking at that moment, but if we plan it out ahead of time of what could go wrong and have a solution of how I want to respond to that, you're just so much more prepared. You do a much better job and you feel good and you learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the other thing to remember, since ultimately we're talking about books, right? Is that, and since both of you have been through the high performance work, I mean, Linda did coaching with me as well, one-on-one, and Ella, you've done the high performance writer, so you're both familiar with this idea. And so I would be looking at those two worksheets before you write your book as well. How can you put, you know, if you want to create change, you need to be able to influence people. You need to be persuasive, right? And so it's not the same as planning out a conversation, but you could sort of say, okay, if I put myself in my reader's shoes, what kind of objections are they going to come up with? How would I address those? How would I raise their aspiration level? How would I challenge them in a way that feels good to them? Right? I mean, and think about it, Ella, every time you do one of my assignments for this course, you're challenged because I'm not just saying, make a list of things you got to do. I'm saying give yourself a deadline, right? This is what you want to achieve. And so let's get that on the calendar, right?
Yes.
That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. But you are also challenging us to get the terminology correct and to keep working on it and keep thinking about it. Yes, it's in regards to a book, but especially the first 4 weeks is all about the overall umbrella and how to explain that and what the mission is. And so it is so much more than just writing the book, I feel.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is that most people will sit down to just write the book. But, oh, I have this idea and I want to create a lot of change. And, you know, maybe it's personal change or I want to change, you know, save the rainforest. And I have this idea and I'm going to write the book and that's going to make it all happen. But it doesn't work that way, right? You have to have an audience. You have to know what it takes to produce the book, to write the book, to be the kind of person who can inspire change. And that has to come through the book. So yeah, so you have to look at yourself, you have to understand the umbrella and what you're really trying to accomplish and how you're going to talk about it. And then once you know how to talk about it and you know how to kind of carry yourself when you talk about it, then you can begin building that community, right? And at that mm-hmm. point, when you're building the community, then you can say, okay, now I got that going. Now let me figure out how it is that I actually structure a book and how do I figure out how I'm going to publish it. And, you know, and it isn't like, that's last. It's just that it builds one thing on top of the other. So yeah, so that's exactly right, Linda, because it's way more than just sitting down and writing a book. We used to be able to do that, but things have gotten so competitive. On the other hand, every book that's ever done well has been a marketable book idea, right? So mm-hmm. you're going to be learning in another 2 weeks, you know, how do you actually take your idea and make sure it's marketable? So yeah. Okay. Other questions?
This is kind of off topic, but I would like to know more about your mastery membership. So I'm already a member of your of the universe.
University. Not the university. You are a member of the universe for sure. So is Ella.
Okay. So is the mastery mainly you teaching CHPC or kind of help me understand the difference?
Okay. So in the Nonfiction Writers University, and Ella, maybe this will help you. I know you said, Ella said she was going to do it, but she's going to wait till we're done with this course, which is fine. But anyway, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but since there are only two of you, is that okay, Ella, if I talk about it?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Because HP is also revolving through the master's course.
Yes. So the way it will work. So last year, I don't know if I said this in here, but last year I did the high performance work. I did high performance writer and charged writer. Basically, as you know, Linda, those are the first 24 sessions we have, right? Just right. Rebranded for writers, but exactly the same. So promoting that on a 3-month basis was just too, I never got any writing done. It was a terrible writing year for me. I made a lot of money, but I didn't do the things that were important to me beyond coaching. So so what's happened is those courses, which yes, are just high performance coaching, will be offered every 2 weeks. So twice a month, high performance coaching. Okay, but it's a group of writers, which you haven't done that. So when it's a group of writers, yeah, Ella can tell you, life issues come up just like with any other coaching client. But it's all related to how do I handle that so that I can do my writing or, you know, whatever. So that's twice a month. Then once a month, I produce a video training, so not live, but a video on authorpreneurship. So meaning, how do you monetize your work? How are you going to, are you going to create courses? Are you going to do webinars? Are you going to, you know, if you don't want to do anything like that, you know, you don't want a membership site, you know, how are you going to make money with eBooks or with special reports or by writing for publications or, you know, just all the different ways as a writer you could make money related to your passion and your purpose and your interest and your mission and all of those things. So that's once a month. And then, and once a month there is an author training session. Author training is a curriculum that I created based on my book, The Author Training Manual. So basically I saw Brendan's curriculum. I was like, I always thought about doing curriculum. I really need to do a curriculum like that. And so that's what I did. Hey, Sherry. Okay. Anyway, so, hey, we're still here.
Better late than never, I always say.
Yeah, well, we're still here. So glad to have you. So Linda had asked me about my new master's program. So I'm just wrapping that up. So, okay. So twice a month, high performance coaching with a group of writers. Once a month, an author training video. Okay. So right now, everybody's getting to learn, you know, the career planning I did with you, Linda?
Yes.
That's proprietary to me. Like, you know, people pay just, you know, to do that with me. And I'm actually offering videos related to how you do this on your own. Like, so how I would coach somebody through it so that people can do it on their own. Okay. So then there will be other things on how to create courses and all that. So every month, some kind of authorpreneur type information, how to make money. And then the fourth thing you get is, okay, so we have the high performance coaching, the author training, that's 8 sessions. So it'll just cycle through. We'll do 8 sessions and we'll go back to the beginning and do it again because there'll be new people coming in. And plus you know, with high performance coaching, you go back to the beginning, you always learn something new. Right. So the high performance coaching will be ongoing. We'll do 6 months of the core sessions, then 6 months of the charge, and then 6 months of the declaration sessions. And then by then I should have the other 12 sessions. So we basically have 2 years of high performance coaching to go through. And every 2 months we'll cycle through the author training. I might add some other things to it, you know, as well to supplement. And then you have the authorpreneur training. And then on top of that, there is an extra office hours. So just like in the university where there's author coaching, where you just show up and you ask questions, that will happen as well. So basically you get upgraded, you get everything you already have, you and Ella both have in the Nonfiction Writers University, and you get these other things as well, plus a bunch of bonuses. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So yeah, and getting in now is going to be cheaper than getting in later. And the people who are getting in now have more say over, you know, when we have sessions. You know, I put things on the calendar, a calendar of events just went out, and, you know, I have just not even 10 people yet, but the people who are in there, you know, these first 20 will get to say, hey, those times don't work for me. Like, can we do it a different time? And, you know, and I'll be thinking about that and changing things up. And if they say, we really want this kind of curriculum, then I'll be looking at implementing that. So, okay.
Are you going to set up a maximum number of people?
Not at the moment. So I'm going to have 20 early adopters and 20 founding members. And then after that, we'll open it up and I'm going to have to see how many people are really showing up for things. And you know what I mean? Like, I think Charlie's got about 70 in his group right now. And, you know, maybe 5 to 10 people show up for events. So it's kind of like here, we have way more people than 5 or 6.
Right.
You know, and the same in the university. I mean, I have over 50 people in the university, and yet most of the things I do there, I have 3 or 4 people. So when it starts to look like it's not going to be personal enough, then I will limit it. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Thank you for asking. And I'd love to have you in there. Okay. Sherry, we're going to move over to you. Do you have any questions about the, you're moving. You really are moving.
Yeah, I am, because the internet connection in there is always unstable, it said.
Okay, so do you have some questions? Everybody else is just Ella and Linda and you, so they've already asked some questions. So why don't you give us a little check-in? Tell us how you've been since last week, and then if you have some questions, we'll answer them.
Okay, well, everything's been going pretty good for me. Last Saturday I met with a guy who is helping me with my website, and we have it up, but it's got some glitches, so we have to work those out. So we're working on that, and that's been a big deal for me. But then also I'm writing a fiction book, and so a novel. So I'm working with someone on that, and that was a big deal for me today. And that's why this week was confusing because of anticipating today. So anyway, I did work on my homework, and there's a lot there to work on, but I think I am working on it. It's just, I need to define I'm defining my brand, but I don't feel like it's fully refined or fully defined. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still working on that, but.
Okay, that's okay. Like, I can't remember which group, I never remember which group I've been saying what to, but can't remember if it was in here that I talked about Michael Hyatt. But if you were to go look up Michael Hyatt, who used to be the publisher at a Christian publishing house that I can't think of right now, Thomas Nelson.
Okay.
And he went off on his own and he wrote a book called Platform, How to Get Heard in a Noisy World or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Michael Hyatt's very, you know, in the publishing world, he's very well known. And I've been watching him since 2011 or 12 when How to Blog a Book came out, because I actually met him. And anyway, he has rebranded probably 5 times since 2011.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, 4 or 5 times. Not 100. I mean, one time it was a big change, and then it was tweaking, right? And all I would say is he's out there in the public eye.
Yeah.
And he's changing things all the time. So don't feel like it has to be perfect. Just get it out, get it done, get it up there, you know, on your website. And then, you know, as you get more into it, if it needs to be tweaked, you just tweak it.
Yeah, I can see that because, you know, I've been through this before. I mean, in the homework, and then today I was journaling it and trying to think it through, and it's like, now I've got more of a bottom line of what it is. So now I just need to develop that to understand it better.
And you know, I know it can be a little daunting. What was it you said, Ella, that this course is not for sissies or something? Ella, what was it you said?
I said it's not for sissies, and it's, you have to be fierce.
True. Yeah, and you know, there's a lot there. There's a lot. I mean, think about it. When I told you all, I still have not put in that Dropbox folder yet because I'm not done with those first chapters because I have to redo them according to my agent. But what you're getting in those assignments, those are almost, not quite complete, but those are the book. Some things are going to get moved around and added. I mean, every one of those assignments will be added to, but when I revised them from what they were 3 years ago or 4 years ago when I first ran the course, I was thinking about the book and I suddenly realized that, I mean, each one of those, the content alone in them is a couple thousand words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they're hefty. So yeah, it's not, I mean, it's like taking a university course, right? You got to do all that reading and then you got to do the work. And so,
And you have to think. You have to think deeper than just facts it's like you have to figure out why have I not been doing, you know, what I feel is important or whatever. Right. How do I become the change or the message?
Right.
And why, if that's my message, have I not been living it? You know,
right. And that's really important. So that's congruency. Mm-hmm. How congruent are you with your message? And that's, you know, that first module about how do I need to change? And I can tell you that I struggle with this myself. It's not so easy. There are a lot of things that, you know, I set out to be writing books that were very different than the books I published. And those books are still going to be done. But because I was so focused on other things, I became incongruent with that other part of me. Does that make sense? So like recently I was at an event and I said to somebody, well, it was a personal growth type event. And I said, well, this is what I do. Like personal development, personal growth, that's what I do. And then I thought, you know, there's a lot of times when I, over the last years, where I didn't do it. You know, when I became a high performance coach, I delved back in and I got better at it. But there's the whole other side where of the spirituality and the metaphysical stuff that I haven't really put back into my life 100%. And because there aren't always people around me, so Linda's also a certified high performance coach, so there aren't always people around me that I can talk to in a way that is constantly reminding me. Yesterday I was on a mastermind call with two other coaches. Well, then I'm reminded, right? So it's that constant conversation, but with not anyone there to bounce things off of, it's very hard to be congruent with your message.
It is.
Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's what I'm hoping my blog will do is help me to be congruent, because every day I'm going to have to write on that blog, and every day I'm going to have to be thinking, you know, this is my message, and this is what, yeah, and I loved in the homework how you said, how can you get people to change without them knowing that you're wanting them to change, well, not wanting, but, you know, helping them change or whatever. I thought that was good to think about that. Mm-hmm. Because in writing the blog, I don't want to be preachy. I've said that before. And so I want to inspire change without, without being preachy or saying, this is how you have to change.
Right. And that's going to come from you being congruent and you beginning to share in a different way. And so I think I said last time that, you know, some of my blogs could be perceived as preachy because I'm saying, do this, do that, you know, this is why. Mm-hmm. The blog post that's going to come out on Monday at ninaamir.com is based on two experiences I had recently. And I would say that if you don't want to be preachy, that blog is closer to that because I talk about two experiences, but I do say, you know, what would happen if we did this differently? Like if we did this one thing differently, how would life change? How would things change for us? And so that's the way to go. I mean, if you don't want to tell people what to do at all, then you're going to have to be very congruent and live your life that way so that you have things to share from your life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think what's going to help too is that I'm going to have to step into the message to be the message. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take some work on my part. So, you know, whatever I say isn't something I'm going to be saying, you have to do it. It's I'll be doing it too. Actually, almost at the same time I'm talking about
it. And that's wonderful. People, I told you, Joanna Penn, people love someone like Joanna Penn who's saying, I'm right there, I'm learning this, and I'm just teaching you what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. And people really do love that. And I do believe that, you know, when we're teaching what we need to learn, that there's an authenticity to it that we don't always get when we come from I'm the expert. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so I don't think that it's incongruent to say I'm still learning it and be talking about it as if that's something people should do. Because it's, you know, I think I said it here last time, you know, it's like being that every woman, right?
Right.
I'm just like you. I'm just telling you what I've learned so that you have a place to jump off and figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm. And these are the advantages that I've learned from making this change or doing this.
Right.
I think, yeah, if I can, you know, if I speak from the advantage as I see it, not as I remember it, but as I have just learned it, it becomes, I think, a little more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Okay. Did you have questions?
No, not right now.
Okay. Anyone else? Questions? Linda's questioned out. Ella, you're my question lady. You got some more questions for me?
Just give me one moment, please. Let's think.
Okay, while you're thinking, I'll to go back to the thing about being congruent. I was at a class all weekend, and there was a woman who showed up who had a similar belief system to me. And this is one of the more kind of woo-woo metaphysical things. And we got talking. And those are the moments when I'm like, this is an incongruency in me because, you know, I'm like so excited to talk to her, right? Mm-hmm. Because now I can say, this is what I believe. And I, you know, reminds me, go out and act that way. And so then I walk away from that reminded. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of what I was trying to get at. And there are things that, you know, you may be teaching or know that when you can say, oh, right, you know, that's what I need to stand for today. And when you're speaking about it, you're going to be reminded. So having her there to talk to was a reminder for me. Okay, that's something I really need to keep remembering and working on, you know. But if there's nobody there to talk to, meaning even your readers, right, for your blog, then it's very easy to fall out of the habit of being that person who is the role model, who is being that change you want to get out into the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Ella. Got a question?
I had a question about tips. Uh-huh. How does, in your video blogs, you give tips. How does that tie into challenge and asking questions and aspiration and persuasion? Thank you.
Yeah, so if you're giving tips, you're basically, you're basically challenging someone. I mean, if somebody's reading the blog post, you know, so like I did one on hope recently, they're reading it because they're interested in having more hope in their life. And I give them three tips and I say, try this week and let me know how, you know, leave me a comment and tell me how it goes for you. Or if you found something else that worked for you, share it here. I perceive that as a challenge. Does that make any sense?
Yes. And so, I also call it an invitation to engage.
Yeah. So the leave the comment below is definitely a request for engagement. And every blog post should end in some kind of a question or something that gets them to leave you a comment. Do know that it's very difficult to get comments, or can be, I should say. In some subjects, some audiences, it's very easy to get comments. Other times it requires quite a large readership. But people are just less inclined to leave comments these days than they used to be. I don't know why. Maybe they're just too busy. I don't know. But anyway, always have a question at the end of your blog post that says, what do you think? Leave me a comment. Or try this week. Let me know how it goes. You know, something along those lines, which pushes them a little bit to take action. I really see the tips as, number one, it's beneficial, right? I'm providing value. Okay, it's a problem solution issue, right? You all have a problem. I got some solutions. Now try them out. Let me know how it goes. So that's where the challenge is. I know you have a problem. I'd like to help. I want to be of service and support you. And here's what I think you could do. And now go try it and let me know. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a video, Ella, it's even easier because you can actually say, I challenge you, or I'd really love it if you would try this. I know that, you know, if you're listening to this, that maybe you're having an issue, or, you know, you feel hopeless or whatever. And, you know, I'd like to know if these tips worked for you. And I'd really love it if you would try them for a week, you know, and let me know if it's working, whether you feel more hopeful, right? So when you're speaking it will be a little easier to do. Okay?
Yes, thank you. I have one other question.
Okay, go ahead.
In relation to what you just said about your conversation with this person who kind of reminded you of maybe where you wanted to focus more on with your congruency. Like, for example, when I talked to this rainforest person, that was part of my nonprofit dream. I was so upset that I realized I really don't like talking to these kinds of people. That was very hard on me. It took a lot of energy to recover. Whereas other people, like the person you talked to, who are spiritually aligned with my belief system, it's effortless and it inspires me and I feel empowered. And so I should just focus more on being my, that's my audience, obviously. Is that the right question? So obviously my audience is not that rainforest person who really pushes all my buttons and I have a very hard time recovering, versus the people who I'm aligned with. So the people I'm aligned with are my audience. Is that correct?
Yes and no. The people who are aligned with you and who are going to believe what you're offering and want to take up your change, take up your cause, are great for your audience. I mean, they are your audience. But the guy who has the rainforest that you really feel like you have something to offer him, you know, and that he needs to change. I mean, that's your judgment call, of course, right? You know, he needs to change.
Yes, very much.
Yeah, but people who you know need to change are also your audience. The thing is, if they don't think they need to change, it's going to be hard to get them over into your community, right? Now, he has a rainforest, so he must, I'm assuming it's on some level, be interested in maintaining that rainforest, right?
I would think. I know somewhere in there. I must believe that. I haven't been able to find that yet, but there must be. And the reason he keeps wanting to talk to me, there must be a reason. Yes.
So there are a couple things here, especially if he keeps coming back to you. He wants to know how to change, but he isn't yet at a place where he can. And the problem is that the more you push on him, you need to change, you're not doing it right, even if you're not using those words. The more that's your energy, the less likely he is to change. So you really have to be able to release your need to be right about this. Because the more you want to be right about it, the more wrong he feels.
Correct.
Yeah. So you have to release that. And you have to just say, you know, start asking, what would he like for his rainforest? Why does he have it? You know, why did he buy that piece of property? Right? What's his dream for this rainforest? Does he have one? Would he like to be part of a movement that is saving the rainforests? You see, because
and then I ask him again, what can I do for you to help you with your dream?
Right, this is an aspiration thing. Yeah, how can I support your dream? And so, but you have to know what his dream is.
Yes, I don't think he knows what his dream is. I've tried. I've tried different angles.
Have you flat out asked him, what's your dream for this rainforest?
I did yesterday, and that's when I started raising my voice. I was like, I'm because out of complete frustration, I said, basically, that's what I asked him. Yes.
You need to do it not when you're frustrated. That has to be the beginning of the conversation.
Yes.
Right? What's your dream for this rainforest? I know you bought this, right? I mean, I'm assuming he bought the land, right? So.
Yes.
If he did, then why'd you buy it?
Okay. Thank you. I don't want to take up other people's time. I know I'm going in circles because I'm a little thick-headed in this area. So
well,
thank you so much.
But we're all going to have those kinds of people, right? If I say, if I tell somebody who's an activist, you know, the best way for you to get your message out there is to write a book. And why the heck aren't you writing a book? You know, they're not going to respond very well. If I talk to them and they start, you know, saying what they want and whatever, and I say, have you thought about writing a book? And they get into a whole thing about how a book would never do it and blah, blah, blah. And I start pushing against that and going, well, you don't understand. And I'm not helping anything. If I go to them and I say, hey, I think that cause you've got is awesome. Tell me about your dream for it. What is it you want to accomplish and how do you plan to accomplish it? And they tell me, and then I say, hey, did you realize that a really great way to support what you're doing, you're already going to go make change. Actually, my literary agent pointed this out to me. You already know you want to change something, the world. You want to change the world, and you know, you already know that, and you even know how you're going to do it. But I would just like you to consider that writing a book might be a way to reach more people. And it wouldn't be that hard or that expensive and, you know, whatever, right? But you see, then it's would you consider this? It's not, this is the way.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to give this a lot of thought.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a tough one,
but we're always, you know, think about it this way. If you were standing up on stage and telling people you wanted to save the rainforest and this was the way to do it, and somebody, you go to a Q&A period and somebody takes the mic and they tell you you're full of crap, you know, how are you going to respond? You're not going to raise your voice and yell at them. That's not going to get you anywhere. You have to have a good set of questions to ask them that get them to consider what you're saying from a different perspective. And as I say all this, I can tell you that I get triggered too. So if somebody stood up and got the mic and told me I was full of crap and they started to mouth off about how, you know, their way was better and I didn't know what I was talking about, I would have to work very hard to have the right questions and to respond without, you know, without, I want to say anger, but it's not, you know, it's really fear. You're afraid that you're being embarrassed and that somebody, I don't know, you know what I mean? It's like this downward spiral of emotions, fear and embarrassment and all of that. And you have to really fight against that and come back without that attachment to being right. And just trying to be of service and come back with, you know, what would, you know, okay, I get that you don't agree with me. So what is the way you would do it? What is it you want to achieve? You know, what's your goal? You get back to their aspiration level and how whatever it is you're talking about is going to help them get that. But again, it would be a struggle for me too. I get pretty triggered.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time and insight into this, because to be an author of change, this is what we have to be able to handle and do.
Right. And again, your persuasion, the persuasion formula and I can't remember which worksheet it is, but the influence one and the persuasion mastery worksheets, those are going to help you a lot thinking these things through.
And you're also going to come up with them again in the master's program. They're going to surface soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because the third week in, let's see, the schedule just went out, but hang on. Let me, the first high performance coaching session will be May 23rd. So, yeah. And what will happen, just so you understand, is it's going to be an ongoing thing. So, you know, if you miss session one, you would just go watch the recording and you would still, you know, you'd hear everybody getting coached and all that stuff, but you would still have, be able to just jump in wherever. So like if you waited for the first 6 months, you would jump in with the charge sessions. So, okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions, Linda or Sherry?
I don't have any questions. I would like to just add a little bit to Ella bringing up the fact that nonprofits, like I'm a president of a board of a nonprofit, and so sometimes it's really more of the person's personality than it is that it's a nonprofit or what the job is. So maybe not put all nonprofits into, definitely don't want to, you know, work with people in nonprofits. I'm just saying, keep an open mind, because they may not all be the same, because I feel that way in every industry. There are certain, as a pastor, there are certain people that I'm not really that crazy about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's, you know, people in the nonprofit world that I work with seniors, and you know they're kind of pushy, but you know, so there's different types in every industry, and I would hate for you to miss out on a great opportunity with a different type of nonprofit that flows more with you because you group it all together. That's my only thought.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Sherry, how about you? Any questions?
No. Kind of came in at the late and rushed, and I'm not thinking as clearly as I probably should.
Okay, that's fine. I'm glad you just showed up, and we're here for a while, and we got to catch up with you. Ella, any last questions, or are you questioned out?
Thank you so much for today. I'm questioned out.
All right, so just keep working on the assignments. Are all of you somewhat caught up, or are you finding it's really hard to maintain, or where are you with things?
I'm pretty caught up, I think.
Okay, awesome.
I have not even looked at this week's, so okay. I'm not caught up, but I don't feel overwhelmed either.
Okay, but you're not really behind. I mean, it's one assignment, so. And Ella, you?
I'm moving along with everything, and I know it gets a little easier towards the end of the ACT course. I remember that the beginning was very, very intense, so.
Yeah, it does get a little bit easier near the end.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. And I was going to, oh, you know what I would love? Would all of you, if you have your favorite, so I need to have some organizations in my book proposal that I will contact to see if there is a way that I can work with them to help some of their change agents, you know, write books, right? Or to see if there's some way that they would endorse the book or, you know, promote it in some way or whatever. And so I am looking for people's favorite organizations because I'd rather approach ones that I know somebody that I know has some kind of experience with. And so if you know of one, either email me or post it on the Facebook page or group and let me know. I'd really appreciate that.
What do you mean change agent? For example, United Way, they are a great nonprofit organization that works with so many different companies, but there's got to be a specific thing you're looking for.
Like United Way would be okay. I mean, especially, and even if you happen to know somebody at United Way, but when I think of change agent, I mean, all of you who want to create change in some way are change agents, right? But there are some people who really are very, more activists, I guess, and involved with organizations, right? Or just very focused, maybe not an activist in the way we think, you know, I don't know how you think of activists, so I'm not going to even try to say anything about that. But, you know, I just always think of change agents, the people who are out there who are trying to push for some kind of change in the world, or even individually one-on-one with people, or who are, you know, thinking about evolution, you know, our evolution, or anything along those lines. How could I, you know, is it an organization that I should think about contacting in some way so that, you know, not purely from a, how can they help me aspect, but how could it help their audience, you know, to think about writing a book? That would be helpful. So just if you think of one, either email me or put it up on the Facebook page. That'd be awesome. Okay. Oh, last. Okay. Sherry, did you get email reminders today or only yesterday for today's class?
Me?
Yeah.
I got a reminder, and it said that this phone conversation was going to be on May 2nd, which is tomorrow.
Oh, so that's right.
That's why I wasn't here.
Oh.
It did say May 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
But this is our normal day and time, right?
Yeah, but it said tomorrow, May 2nd, which I got it today. So I thought, well, I don't know why, but she has to change it. So, okay.
Okay. Maybe that's why nobody was here. Okay. Well, maybe what I'll do, I'll send something out. And if there are people who wanted to be here and couldn't be, I think I could meet for about 45 minutes tomorrow from 4 till like 4:45. So if you see an email come around and you want to hop back on, do that. But I feel badly if Deborah and Deanna, you know, didn't make it because of that. I'll probably try to find a time for them to get on with me. So I'll make sure you all get it, though. So I'll talk to Ruth about that. We're still working it out. Ruth just took over doing all this stuff for me. I had a VA who was doing it. Now my development team's doing it. So Ruth is pretty meticulous, but you know what happened? She's in England, and she has discovered, and she probably didn't catch this one, that sometimes the date on my calendar is already the next day for her.
Right. She's,
right? So we have to work this out, that it doesn't keep showing up for her as the wrong day. So, all right. So thank you for telling me that, Sherry, because that sort of sheds light on what happened.
And some things, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'll send something out. If we're going to meet tomorrow, then if you want to hop on again, great. If you don't, no worries. The replay will be in on the site. Okay? Any questions or concerns?
Thank you, Nina.
You're very welcome. Thanks for showing up.
This is so helpful.
Good. I'm glad. So watch for a note about tomorrow if that ends up happening. And otherwise, I will talk to you at our normal day and time, Tuesday at 4 p.m. next week.
Okay.
Thank you all, and as always, go out there and achieve more inspired results. I know that you all are change agents and authors of change, and so go out there and make your difference.
Oh, and you're very lucky to have a four-letter name to do your tagline.
Okay, so that was actually
one with Newcomb, and it wasn't working.
Yeah, that's kind of long, but the person who... Oh, what is her name? She actually did a video for the Nonfiction Writers University, and I can't think of her name. And and she often goes by her last name, but it is short. But she stood up at she used to be the head of the National Speakers Association in California or something. Anyway, she stood up and was doing a talk, and she did an acronym for her name. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. What could I do? And I just did it. Like in 10 minutes, I had it, and I was like, okay, I have an acronym. And then it just ended up fitting in with everything I was doing. So, yeah, sorry. Maybe you could do it for Sherry.
Yeah, that would be harder, I think.
Yeah. Handy, you could do it for Handy. And Hope.
Yeah.
Ella, you could do it for Hope.
Oh,
I just thought of one.
Yeah. Well, actually, Hope works just by itself, but yeah. Anyway, I can't do it that fast in my head. So anyway, thank you. Yes, and Linda will know when we became high performance coaches. Brendan would always say, Brendan Burchard. Remember, he's always like, you know, he would just say, "Okay, talk to you next week." Click, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the call, when he was teaching us how to, he was always like, end on time, you know? So he's like, you know, okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, bye. You know, click. And so I was just go, hey, you know, thanks so much. Great session. Till next week, go out there and achieve more inspired results. Click. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just has become habit. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Anyway, I will talk to all of you next week. Thanks for showing up. We will try to get the communication thing handled a little better. And, I'll talk to you then. So have a great week. Check in on the Facebook page if you can. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.